I'm in a scarf. I'm teaching the blank page this week. That's a title, an image that comes from Margaret Atwood, who said, underneath the blank page is everything that has ever happened. The page waits pretending to be blank, hence the image. And invite you to come always to a writing class with a blank page that we fill together, writing alone in solitude, but not alone. I started writing in the early 80s, having been trained to be a teacher, went back to grad, was planning to go back to graduate school and realized I couldn't any longer handle footnotes. And with fiction, you could make it all up, and there was nothing to footnote. And I recommend it to all of you. It is the most liberating thing to know that nobody's going to be looking over your shoulder saying, prove that. Cite the citation. You go into experience and imagination for the writing of fiction. And then began teaching after doing my degree, a master's degree in creative writing, working workshops, writing workshops, where we began with the blank page. And you do your first draft together and continue elsewhere, which is the opposite of what some of you have done, start elsewhere and bring in to a class. So that's just a little bit of background. I'd like to just hear from you your image. Everything in here is optional. You don't need to speak about anything on your page, but I'll have two invitations now and after we've written together. But I would really love to gather the images as if we're bringing them into the middle with the flowers. Nothing else except the image, please, not the explanation, which is yours on your page. So, Stacey, if you wouldn't mind beginning. And this is optional. Yeah.
This period of my life is like a hiking trail with switchbacks.
Hiking trail with switchbacks, thank you.
A walk through an unfamiliar forest.
A walk through an unfamiliar forest, thank you. I hope you've both drawn these. I hope you've all drawn these. Thank you.
Dust rising from the trail.
Dust rising from the trail. Is it any accident that so far we've been in a cold environment? Our images surface out of our lived experience. I'm not expecting you all to have a golden one by any means, but I heard through, yes.
Like a maple tree.
Like a maple tree. This period of my life is like a maple tree, yes.
The end of a dock.
The end of a dock. Okay, thank you.
A bank book.
A bank book. This period of my life is like a bank book. Let's keep going around here, yes.
Spring planting. The summer went forth to sow.
All right. This period of my life is like spring planting. Thank you.
This period of my life is like the many colored threads which have become broken.
Many colored threads which have become broken. Okay, thank you.
Spring, something like that.
In the spring.
Yeah.
Associated with spring. Thank you. Would you like?
A solitary journey through a crowded place.
A solitary journey through a crowded place. Thank you.
A stepping stone to realizing greater vision.
A stepping stone. Okay, thank you.
I didn't quite get it. A quitting job, move closer to nature, changes.
Can you come back? That's what's been going on in this period.
Right.
Not necessarily now, but can you come back and seek an image that is something that we can picture, something concrete that we can visualize?
I missed that part.
Perfectly right. That's yeah. Fine. This image in my life is light. Mm-hmm. A butterfly opening its wings. This from nature we very often go, but you pick your own. Good. Diane, did you have time?
The overflow of water over the dam.
Overflowing water over the dam. All right. So we don't have all your names, but we have your images. And that is a portrait of you before we begin today. Take a deep breath. You may do this every morning. That's something you can take back with you. As a morning pages, this period is like, maybe this should be done at the end of the day, shouldn't it? This day was like, it's a way of visualizing, and it is used in all writing of any kind whatsoever, and in all speech between us. Okay, the way we're going to spend the rest of the hour, I'd like to read to you one or two passages. I'll give you the name of the writer. I'll give you the title of the passage, which I'd like you to record so that you can give credit. And as I heard this poem today, and you'll know, it's honoring, keeping the writer from being anonymous and giving them credit for the enormous work that goes into any text. And when I've read them, we're not discussing them. Let them stay in the air and choose, go anywhere that the passage has invited you in memory or in imagination. Now, most of us are writing out of memory this week, invited into your experience. But if you've done writing before and you feel like lying a lot, you can go into the inventive, the imaginary. It's up to you. You can write prose or poetry or lists. So that's what we do. And when you're finished, we've got 15 minutes to write. I'll invite you to read aloud, and I may say one thing to you relative to what you might do next with this, if you choose to carry on with it. And we'll hear each other's stories, and then we'll close. Okay? Nothing needs to be read aloud. When you write, please don't think of anyone over your shoulder. Either censoring it or praising it, either one. If you like, you'll be invited to read aloud to hear the sound and the shape of your own words.
Could you say who it was who says underneath the blank page is?
She calls the passage, it's a two-page essay, it's called The Blank Page, and then she begins, underneath the page is everything that has ever happened. And you want the author?
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Atwood, who's a Canadian writer, fairly prolific. Poetry and prose. The first one I'd like to read is Friends. And the author on this, and I found this in the Hungry Mind Review, which comes out of Minneapolis, is Barbara Esbensen, E-S-B-E-N-S-E-N. And I would suggest jotting any down, any line or phrase that you like. You can use one of her lines, and it isn't plagiarism in this class. You can begin with a line of hers and then carry on to your own story. It goes like this. I am drawing a picture, and my house is in it. A jagged yellow sun hangs from the blue strip of sky. I am drawing a dog. His tail is wagging. He wants to be my dog. I am drawing the sound of a train far off. I will scribble in some smoke. I might want to travel. Your house is in my picture. It is leaning across our street. I am putting the word pow and electric zigzags where our chimneys almost touch each other. In this picture, I am waving from my window. You are running up our walk. A bird is flying off the edge of the page, singing. Anything can happen in pictures. I don't need to draw our faces. We will never forget each other. And so I invite you to begin. I am drawing a picture. Use that line if you like, and it can be any scene, a picture of a marriage, a picture of a place, a picture of a time, a picture of an event. Anything can happen in pictures. I read one passage and the opening line, I am drawing a picture, and I'm going to give you, hello, what's your name?
He's just telling me.
Are you in the wrong place?
No,
are you
the right place? I just wanted to get
you. Oh, you want a message? Fine. We'll let you go. Okay. So that was Friends by Barbara Esbensen. It's very visual. And in words, you make the visual scene. So it's a moment in time. Do whatever you like with that. And the second one is no relation. We're not doing a theme. It's just giving you words to do with what you like. This one is, the second one is called On Leaving a House. And in fact, it is related by accident, I realize. It's also a visual image of house. These things happen. I had no intention to have a connection between the two of them. These things happen. All right, there is a connection today. By accident. On Leaving a House. And this is by Gwendolyn Scott. And it came out of Parabola magazine some years ago. I don't know if you know that one, but it very often has poetry in it. From the front steps, I take the slope up to the front door. From the hallway, I take the cool white length leading to the pumpkin-painted kitchen. From the front room, I take the scales, weighing and measuring out foodstuffs, leaving lentils and small dried peas in the cracks. I'm sorry, that's from the kitchen. I take the scales, weighing and measuring out foodstuffs, leaving lentils and small dried peas in the cracks between the floorboards. From Harriet's room, I take, standing in front of her long mirror, she's arguing about the length of my skirt. From the sewing room, I take the hours spent putting in a zipper or ironing a 7-yard flounce. From the living room, I take the no sound of a piano sold. I take Malcolm's Tonka trucks from the marble top, the puzzles, and the envelopes, too. From the kitchen, I take all the pies, turkeys, souffles, jams, bread, and dirty dishes I have made. I take the poster, the dream of running through the night desert. I take the dish cabinet. I take Christopher's light machine and the pantry, along with Harriet's 20-quart Revere pan for tofu. From the back room, I take Peter's guitar case, which he made with a peachwood handle. I take the writing in the downstairs jar. From Christopher's room, I take knocking on his door in shock, asking him to bathe motorcycle wounds on my knees. I take his crying in case I die. From my old room, I take signaling to Laura's room across the creek. I also take my A's in Latin. From the tub room, I take the orangeness of the walls and the towels. I take stretching my legs on the towel bar like a ballet instructor or student. From the garden, I take the frozen flannel plant that came back with small white flowers. I take the long stretch of the rope swing. I stand in front of this house, looking at the bless you on the mailbox. I take it with me. She is going through her house, taking the memories, identifying the memories. It's working in image because you have the concreteness. This is where we did in the beginning, but it's the memories. You can take a relationship, you can take a place, you can take an experience, you can take a home, you can take something from your childhood, you can take, all is free in memory. So I invite you, I see one more connection to remember. She says, I take signaling to Lara's room across the creek, and immediately I saw the two houses in the picture, our houses almost meeting, my best friend. Pow, let me touch at the top, the connection. You can do anything on the page. You'll have 15 minutes to write. Go wherever it takes you. Don't be organized. See what happens. Let the story out that is there. This is the antithesis of doing an organized public piece of writing that has argument and evidence and transitions. Be as rambling as you like. See what is found there. This is search and rescue writing. You'll have 15 minutes, and then we'll invite you to read aloud if you like, but don't censor something from your page because you think, oh, I can't read this. Write it and choose not to read it. It's yours to get down on the page. On the next line, or when you finished your sentence, or when you finished your line or your sentence, will you draw a line? You're not finished, but I'm going to interrupt you. You can continue this if you like later. Will you draw a line and answer the question, what was I thinking or feeling as I wrote? What was I feeling, or what was I thinking that did not get down on the page? And you had 1,001 images or remembrances that didn't have time to get down on the page. So make a comment on that. What was I thinking or feeling as I wrote? The writer is a solitary worker, a lone ranger. And in talking between me, myself, and I, you assess what you have done, and then you continue. To be an author is to be an authority. Your own authority, it's pretty terrifying, but it's talking back to yourself, what I call the PS or the postscript, is a way of generating more text. What was I thinking or what was I feeling as I wrote this? And out of that, after writing that, then you can take this and continue later. just a brief comment, sentence or two. What was I thinking? What was I feeling as I wrote? The first inclination for a writer is to go to somebody and say, is this any good? And I suggest that the first person you go to is yourself. What have I done? What have I done here? What am I still going to do? Okay, just put down. This was really good. If you have to be told it's really good, put that down. It's really good. But the more important question is, what have I done? What'll I do next? Still writing, it's because they're on to something that they shouldn't let go of. So I know you can write and listen. It's not rude if you want to continue writing while somebody's reading. Who'd like to go first? And my goal is to get all of us done. Okay, yes, can you give us your name?
Jim.
Thank you.
Mine was the planting, sewing image. I'm drawing a picture of planting. The field is fertile, though fallow after extended neglect. The fields are like canvas in several shapes and many sizes. From closeted obscurity, I take the tools that prepare the soil. From the dry sealed containers, I take the seeding colors with images yet unknown. From the Crooked Creek brochure of options, I take the challenge of vulnerability. From engagement with instructor and student, I take invitation. From the prospect of seed planted, I anticipate fauna unknown. With the excitement of colors cast on waiting canvas, I take the joy of creation's bounty. 104.
Thank you, Jim. Do you mind writing what's below the line? Reading what's below the line?
No. I wrote this is an unusual but seemingly creative connection. And I'm feeling as happy and creative writing as when I paint.
Thank you. No accident, you did a picture. If you paint. I'll likely make one suggestion to each of you. It's not to improve it, it's to open it up like an accordion. You've done a rough draft, and in this rough draft, there is enough material to do pages and pages for each of you. So I will simply name one thing. If you wish to re-enter this or extend it, remember this is not to improve it. You might want to name the tools, because they have such beautiful names, tools used for gardening, farming. Planting. And you might want to name the seeds because they evoke so many pictures in our minds. The details, if you wish. But
started to do that and got tangled up with garden tools versus brushes and palette knives and
okay. Okay. Go ahead, mix them up.
Mix them up.
Yeah, we can handle it. Paige can handle it. Thank you, Jim. We all know this is first draft, you had no preparation. So there's no judgment. Who's next? One, two, three. One here, two, Inga, and then Esther, and then your name?
Jerry,
okay, Inga. And please, you've had no rehearsal for this, but please could you just increase the volume? Okay, it's double.
From the dented mailbox beside the cracked sidewalk, I take one last look at the house, this home of 23 years. I wonder how time escapes and vanishes like steam. The rooms downstairs, full of guitars and drums, rooms were transposed into a rental unit when the boys left. The living room, which once housed a square table holding a jigsaw puzzle, had its main player absent. gone now for 7 years. The kitchen that used to be noisy with children and friends most recently was cluttered with cartons from TV dinners. The dining room hutch was dusty now. Why bother to polish the silver and the knickknacks? They're just things. The walls have all been emptied, too, of pictures of freckle-faced children, caps and gowns, wedding dresses, and souvenir prints from France and Spain and other exotic places. 23 years in this home, has seen many changes, most of them good. Now, from the mailbox by the crack sidewalk, I wave goodbye, bundle my dog into the car, and head west. But with a smile on my face, I think, it's okay.
Okay. Thank you, Ingrid. Do you mind reading what's below the line?
Nostalgic at first, but then the thought keeps going through my mind. I'm hopeful that I've made the right decision to move.
Ah. I have a question. Where is the house with the mailbox?
What city?
Mm-hmm.
In Pullman, Washington.
Pullman, Washington. All right. And I have a suggestion for if you wish to open this up, to expand something. The main player, gone now for 7 years. Turn the page when you're ready. Start the page. Who was the main player?
Seriously?
Yeah, you don't tell us, not to tell us now, but if you wish to expand this, you can turn the page and write the story of the main player. The name, the absence, the memories of the person. Thank you, Inga. Second is Esther. Thank you, Inga, for reading.
I actually used the idea of the house.
Mm-hmm.
The houses we lived in were small and box-like. The feelings and memories often boxed up also. Not like pretty presents with colors and tissue paper and bows, but gray and dark and plain, crammed in and pushed down. Taped firmly closed, hopefully to never again be viewed or experienced. The houses did not sparkle with laughter and fun. That would have been like the packages of colors and tissues and bows. But the houses were ponderous and heavy with guilt and accusations and recriminations and rules and orders. Not a lovely order like breakfast of pancakes and bacon and juice on a bright summer Sunday before church, but an order. You will behave in church today. Don't you talk back to me. You're not going to get dessert after lunch if you don't finish your breakfast. Stop that. Come here. Pick that up. A different kind of order. Angry orders. So lots of these orders and feelings got packed into heavy boxes in the little boxy houses. And when we left one, guess what? All those boxes full and bulky came with us as we moved on to a different little boxy house.
Okay. Thank you, Esther. I like the way you said, the houses did not. It's one way all of you can use. Do you mind if I lift out a sentence as an invitation to everybody? To say what was not is very often a powerful way of then saying what was. And you can use it in any place in your writing. To say what was not